It just seems like that whenever Pastor Key's away, I'm usually make my way over here. And not too long ago, I was my wife and I took a group of a fellowship to river rafting out in Squamish area, and it was fun. It was our first time doing this, and you have to understand, my wife, she doesn't like too much adventurous type. She's not the camping type. So we ended up going to this very extreme adventure, I would think, of river rafting. And then we were going really good, nice. You know, there's different grading in the rapids of the water. And so we were going pretty good, and it was really a lot of fun. We have fun, she have fun, and everything. And then the leader, the guy, would take us to a place. Here's a place, basically took us to a place where you can actually cliff diving. It was just a deep drop. There's a two options. There's a 10-foot drop. There's a 25-foot drop, and a 35-foot drop. So take your pick. You know, and really, really encourage us to climb up there and take the plunge. I mean, the water is very cold. We were in the wet suits and of course, and life jackets on as well, and helmets and all that. So we was really well protected. So here's my wife. You understand a little bit of it. You know, she doesn't like camping. At the same time, when we go to take our kids to Disneyland, she doesn't go on rides. She doesn't go on roller coaster. She's scared of roller coaster. You know, you want to convince my wife to go up this cliff, right? But somehow, okay, you know, she said, I'm here already. I'm going to do it. Okay, let's do it, right? You want to go to the 10-footer or, you know, the 25 or the 35, right? We're going to the middle one, 25-footer. Okay, let's do it. We'll do it together, right? So here we went up there. We climbed. Most people did. No one really jumped off the 10-footer, but most people jump off the 25th or the 35, right? Those who are more gutsy, they went up to the top. So here I am. We're lined up. We climb all the way up. You know, one after the other, boom, jump, you know. We don't go head first. It's basically you kind of jump off, and then like that, you tuck yourself in, and zoom, into the water, right? So one after the other, it's my wife's turn. I was behind her. Okay, honey, let's do it. Build up courage, right? Let's do it. And then she kind of eased herself to the edge of the cliff, and, you know, she paused there. Thought about it a little bit, you know. It was not too long of a pause, good thing. And off she went, you know. And it was great. Like, she, you know, she was so proud of herself. I was proud of her. And then she overcome that fear in cliff diving. She just needed a little encouragement. At the same time, took that courage to do it. And something she always wanted to do, she did it. You know, you have to understand, of someone who does not like roller coaster rides, nor any of those rides at or PNE or Disneyland. So that was our thrill, overcoming fear, overcoming, just coming to the first step and take the plunge. That was great. Here, I want us to open the Word of God to Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. I want to read off. Immediately, verse 22, Jesus made the disciple get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land. Buffeted by the wave because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on water, and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I really love this passage. Every time I read it, it excites me and encourages me. There's so many messages in this passage. I only draw a few, okay? Here's the challenge right off the bat. Here's the challenge. Get off the boat. Get off the boat. What does it mean by getting off the boat? I just want to just kind of bring us in the wavelength. What does it mean by getting off the boat? I personally have to think about that. What does it mean? Does it mean by church ministry, get off so we can, you know, get off our horses and then reach out to the world? Maybe. Or is it get off the boat, get off my complacency or my routine work and do something different? Maybe. So what does it mean by get off the boat then? What is it Jesus meant by get off the boat? Here it is. Here's what what God's placed in my heart. Getting off the boat to find out what that means, I have to think about, okay, what am I living for? Or who am I living for? What is the purpose of my existence? Why am I placed here in this world where I am today? Well, Jim, I'm an engineer, so I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, engineering. Then I have to ask, well, is that what you're supposed to be doing? That's what you do, but is that who you are? Same with other professions, right? But then again, I go, okay, who I am is this. I am placed in this world, in a sinful world, and God put me here for a reason. And my focus, this passage tells me, is that I need to be focused on God every day of my life. No matter what I do, whether I'm engineer, student, businessman, but my focus is always on God. But what I so the question is really is, are you a Christian who happens to be engineer, or engineer who happens to be a Christian? So I have to say, so when I say get off the boat, it's that really, I am a Christian. I focus on God. I focus on God. And realizing who I am, realizing what my existence, why I place here, the meaning, why I'm here, the reason why I'm here, is to honor God and glorifying God and have set my focus and eyes on God. In doing, perhaps, the place where he put me as an engineer, but wherever I am, to influence the world for God. So really, when Jesus here teaches us, get off the boat. There in the midst of stormy weather, Jesus said, Peter and all the disciples were afraid. Jesus wasn't around. When he saw a figure or a ghost, he thought it was a ghost. A figure is a ghost. Saw something, it was a ghost. And then when they realized it was Jesus, here you got Peter, the oldest guy probably in on the boat, said to Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come to you. Well, Jesus said, well, come to me. Come to me. I believe that when Jesus is saying the same thing to us in the midst of this chaotic world, Jesus said, come. Come to me. Come to me. When Peter got off the boat, guess what happened? He was walking on water and walking toward Jesus. Wow. That blows me away. That means, you mean to say that a person who's focused on God can do anything within the will of God? Absolutely. Many of our friends, among our pastoral peers, we talk about how come, if we're all serving God, how come God, there's different pastors who are gifted, some pastors who have large church and small church, and you know, everybody seems to have a place. But God is the one who blesses different people, obviously, but on a different path. And each of us have a role and a purpose in serving in life, whatever you do, whether it's in a secular world or not. But God's the one who anoints. God's the one who makes it possible. You dream big, God will give you big things. The challenge is, get out of the boat. I believe there's 17 of your friends, your brother and sister, who went to Cambodia. These are the people who truly got off the boat. You know what? I was talking to your pastor, Keith. He goes, how much does each individual have to pay? Like you know, to have to raise? It's not cheap. Going to Cambodia, right? It's like expensive trip. But they make the sacrifice. They make the time and money to do this. And I'll guarantee you, when they come back, they'll be so excited. They'll be that much more mature. They will see, their eyes will be, you know, they will experience great things they ever dreamed about. God's going to show them mighty things that only God could give. I'm not saying that, hey, you guys lose out on this. No. But these are the 17 brothers and sisters who took that opportunity and got off the boat and said to Jesus, if it's you, ask me to come to you. And Jesus said, come. They took the challenge and said, I'll come. Some of the excuses we might give to stay in the boat. And it's really the complacency attitude. You know, if my wife was standing on that edge, and the longer she stands on that edge, you know what happens? The more thinking, you know, they're playing mind games now, right? Oh, should I or shouldn't I? No, I'll do it next time. Oh, maybe the next time that I come back, right? You start to play mind games, guess what? Sooner or later, she will come complacent. There's a lot of mind games about, really, what we should do in life. One stormy night, a ship bowed down through a sea. The captain was on duty on a bridge when off to the port. He spotted a strange rapidly closing with his own vessel. Immediately, he ordered the signalman to flash a signal to the unidentified craft. Alter your course 10 degrees to the south. Only a moment he had passed before he replied, came back, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. Determined that this ship would take a backseat to no one else, the captain snapped out the order to be sent. Alter the course 10 degrees, I am the captain. The response came back, alter your course 10 degrees, I am the seaman, third class Jones. Now infuriated, the captain grabbed the signal light with his own hand and fired off. Alter your course, I am a battleship. The reply came back, alter your course, I am a lighthouse. Here, stubbornness, complacency doesn't pay off. And the second reason why we don't get off the boat is it's a distorted view in life. The task is impossible. We can't do this. We just can't do this. It's too expensive. We can't. Financially, it's not viable. Long time ago, I heard this illustration about a duck and a chicken. So for some reason, this duck fell out into the farm, and then got connected with the chicken, lived his whole life as a chicken. Distorted, not realizing who he is. One day, he was sitting with other chickens talking in the field, seeing a family of herd of ducks flying by. And he said to the fellow chicken, if only I could fly like those ducks can. He said the other, not realizing his potential to be great, not taking the first step of faith because his view are distorted. I was watching a movie with my son called Facing the Giants. There was a football player, one of the leader on the team. The coach said to them, to do a certain exercise. It's called the death crawl. I played football before, and I know what that means. So basically, there will be you crawling in your legs and hands on the field as far as you can with someone on your back. They call it the death crawl. So this player was approached by a coach. Goes, so how far can you do it, carrying someone on your back? He goes, oh, I don't know, 30 yards? And the coach said, no, I want you to do 50 yards. Can you do it? He goes, if I call without someone on my back, maybe I could. Well, let's just see what you could do. So he blindfolded him, and then had someone on his back, and he crawled from yard one. And he told him, Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Only if you have nothing left in your tank, nothing you cannot do anymore, absolutely you can't, but you have to try your hardest. So he called from the one end zone, he started crawling, and blindfolded. When he hits, 50 yards, the coach didn't tell him where he was. He kept on crawling. And he goes, after a while, he was just aching. And he goes, I can't do it anymore. The coach keep going, don't stop. Keep going. and then all the way down the field. And all of a sudden, he just collapsed. He just finished. He couldn't do it anymore. And the coach told him, you know what? Take off your blindfold. You know where you are? You crawl from one end of the field to the other. That's 100 yards. Not 50, not 30. And then everybody looked at it and go, wow, this is amazing. See, how we perceive what we can do is different from what we actually could do. And I believe God is teaching us something here. That when we have distorted view of our own, really, that's what Satan puts in our minds. Because I believe God has gifted each one of us with special giftings. And a lot of us don't even know what it is. The Spirit, that's what the promise of the Scripture is, that all of each one of us is gifted with spiritual gifts to honor and glorify Him. And because of our complacency and fear and distorted view, we don't even know what our gifts are, because we don't get out of the boat. Of course, the third one I want to say is the overwhelming fear. What if I fail? If you perceive, you have a preconceived idea that you will fail, or you have failed, rather than succeed, then you already fail. Thomas Edison illustrates, many life's failure are people who do not realize how close to success they were when they gave up. Peter was afraid, but he took the first step came out of the boat. When he did, he was walking on water toward Jesus. And how do we do that? How do we deal with fear? I believe we need to deal with fear by trusting God. Focusing on God. The question is, how do we trust God? We focus on God. We pray to God. We worship Him. And we believe in Him. Whether you have a relational or marriage or issues, you can't control the other person. I can't control what's in the future. But I trust God, but He's the one who could control my future. I remember when I was giving my vows to my wife Rita. On that one instant, I remember vividly, I remember, Lord, I prayed while I was standing up here. I said, Lord, I love this person in Frida. I want to spend my life with her. Yet at the same time, she's another person herself. I marry her, and I want to marry her. I marry her because I trust you, that this is the perfect union that you put together, that this is the right person for me. That when storms comes, that I will trust you. And as long as I'm focused on you, as long as I'm walking with you, Lord, things are going to be okay. And I believe when we start to fear, we run away. We run away and hide. I must tell you that one of my tendencies is to run. But not realizing, you know what, Jim, God saying to me, trust me. He wants to say, come to me. But when we focus on God, things will be okay. You know what Jesus said to us, to the disciples? Do not be afraid. It is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. Even if you fail, it's okay. You know what? Peter walked on water and he failed. He just kept. He lost focus. He kept his eyes off Jesus. And when that happened, he went, pew, sank right into the water. And yet Jesus reached out to him. It says in the scripture, and caught him. So what does that tell us? It tells us that it's okay if we fail. But get off the boat. It's okay we fail, but Jesus is there to catch us, pick us up again. Sometimes we contemplate too long, we lose out, and we lose confidence and lose out. I was watching this movie. I watched some movie. I don't watch a lot of movies, okay? It just sometimes it just different illustrations come to mind. There was a movie called Last Holiday. I don't know if you heard of it. It's about a person who found out. She have 3 weeks to live, and then found out that she only had three. Well, she's young. She decided to live out life to the fullest for 3 weeks, and then so she kind of been doing she works in a department store. And complacent lifestyle kind of thing, not happy where life is going, and even knowing that she's three weeks to live, so she took some money out of the bank and went try to live out the fullest, and then wanted to live out her dream. She loved culinary arts. She likes to cook. She likes to eat, and that's what she did. For 3 weeks, that she went dead. And then, of course, there was a clip. It says, in her reflection, having life to live a life to the fullest, she said to herself. And there's just another clip. Has she in some way, she was writing a will. And it says, as she writing her last words, to whoever, I guess, is running her, executing her will, she said, please cremate my body. I have spent my whole life in a box. I don't want to live my rest of my life in a box.
Meaning in a coffin, right?
And I look at it. But anyways, the end of the movie, the end of the story is that she found out that there was a mistake in a medical report that she didn't have the cancer. She's not gonna die at all, like, you know, in three weeks. And then she found out, what? I'm actually gonna, you know, be okay. And the point is, in 3 weeks, she got off the boat and walked in faith and found out her potential and lived out her dreams as a culinary artist and came back and started a restaurant. Instead of working in a place that she never wanted to be in a department, working in a department store for someone else. And makes a lot of sense. And so what about us? Are you living a life in the fullest? I've been on a mission trip before. I'll tell you, many of the reflections by your friends, some of the 17 people, the brothers and sisters who went, and I'm positive many of them would think, wow, I am so glad I'm here. This has changed my life. I'm living it. I'm living it for God. And my challenge here this morning is that in your prayer, in your reflection, how can you honor God? How can you focus on God? How can you get off the boat and actually walk toward Jesus? I want to encourage you with one more little story.
It was just happened last week. I took, there's eight of us, myself, my family, and my sister's family. They have two kids, I have two kids. We went to the Oregon coast. And then before we got there, we stopped in a halfway. There's a great mound. I think it's Great Mound. The place called Great Wolf Lodge. You ever heard of that? You heard of that, right? And they have big water slides. And then so I was in with all the kids. You know, swimming, and then there was an 8-year-old with us, and she's, you know, the shy kind of, you know, person, and we try to encourage her, let's go to the top to ride that water slide. You know, it's a giant inner tube that often can fit all of us, and then just, you know, come down, right? They call it the tornado, or I think that name's already scared her. So two of us went up, the two boys went up, and then we did it first. It goes, I think Cameron can do this. After we cut down, it goes, let's get her to get her up there. Okay, we talk to her. Goes, do you want to go up there? She goes, no. And it goes, okay. And then we all try to go, no, it's not, trust me, I'm your uncle, and this is really good ride. It will be a pretty, it's not really scary. He goes, no. For some reason, my youngest daughter, she's 10, and then, you know, a few minutes later, she was able to convince her. She goes, Dad, Cameron wants to go now, so can we go up there now? Are you sure? I went up there. Are you sure you want to do this? He goes, yeah. Okay, let's go. So we all went up there. And little did she know, I was watching. Okay, so I had my eyes on her as we were coming down, right? It's been, you know, as soon as we got down, she was like,
big eyes glowing and, you know, big smile. And it's the first thing she said, "This is fun. Let's do it again," right? And of course, again and then again and again, right? That's what would happen. My friends, get off the boat in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your words to us this morning in Matthew chapter 14. We thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for praying for us. And we know that you do that for each one of us, because when you, soon as you send your disciples off, you went up to the mountain and pray. And you were praying for every one of them that you sent off. So we know that for a fact that you are praying for us, Lord. And so good to know that you loved us and you're praying for us. And you have brought us to to the presence of God. Father, we pray, in the midst of this lost world, you place us here. And I know for a fact that you didn't leave us alone. But you walk with us and you're watching all over us. So Father God, we pray that in this chaotic world, in the midst of this world, that we would able to realize and see you and able to focus on you. And not to lose sight that, oh, we have to do this, we have to do that, we have to accomplish this or accomplish that. And really lose sight of who we are. And focus too much on what we're doing in life. So Father God, we want to pray and come before you that you will continue to challenge us. And you have a perfect plan for each one of us. You have a purpose for each one of us. And you have a place for each one of us. And Lord, yes, we want to make a difference wherever we are. And so, Father, we ask, Lord, as we ask you, if it's you, call upon us so we may come to you. Thank you for this time, for your words. In Jesus' name we pray.